Raising Playful Tots, show number 134. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours, so that we can, in fact, introduce a few new play ideas. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates that come each week. Plenty of room, so come join us as we let them have some independent play. That's right, play all by themselves. Last week's show, I shared on the topic of independent play and set us all a challenge to do more independent play within the week of hearing that particular episode. And I'm wondering how you actually got on with that. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm talking to Adele Crozier of Playful Learners. We're talking all about sensory play and the childcare work decisions that we make. So I hope that you'll stick around, and I'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, you're listening to Raising Playful Tots, and this is Kara of SimpleKids.net talking to you from Indianapolis, Indiana in the United States.
Today I'm talking to Adele Crozier, mother to two little ones and a former nursery manager. She documents her play activities at monkeyingaroundone.blogspot.com. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Adele, you talk really candidly about the struggle you have had between work, the amount of time your children were in nursery care, and having less money. Can you share a little bit about that time and the impact on how you viewed play?
Yes, sure. When I was working, I was a nursery manager at a nursery in London. My day was waking up at 5:30 to get the train into London to look after other people's children, and then not getting home till 7:30 at night. 3-year-old daughter in where we lived, and she was in childcare herself 12 hours a day. So that was quite a long day for her, really, as well. And when I fell pregnant with our second child, the plan was that I would take him with me to London whilst their daughter went to school and then after school club. It didn't work out that way in the end. I ended up deciding to stay at home. The money wasn't enough for us, really, to make the decision for me to go. I felt that the hours that they'd both be in childcare didn't warrant me going back to work, really. I wanted them to have, you know, a better lifestyle, to be able to spend more time with me at home, get, you know, the opportunities that they could from a stay-at-home mum.
That must have been a really tough decision to make.
It was. Obviously, the money side of it still affects us now. We've had to cut down on a lot of the luxuries that we would have had beforehand. You know, and find other ways of doing things with children. So the whole creative and activities at home is one way that I find we can spend on things rather than having to go out places to find things to do.
You're not alone. There are so many other parents who have had to make decisions like that, you know, up and down the land. We're all, you know, trying to find the best way to parent our children, and sometimes we don't have the choices that we would like to have, but we do the best that we can with what we have. And so that's great that you're able to reconcile the playing that you wanted to do and being able to stay at home.
Yeah, I definitely find that having that one-to-one with the children all through the day, being able to be there to notice those big moments in their lives, you know, the development steps that they go the first time they say a new word or speak. And my eldest, it's her coming out with little comments of things that she's working out in her brain that I probably would have missed out on if I was that sort of compensate for, you know, those little struggles that we go through day to day.
Yes. And what about now? I see from your website that you are training to become a childminder. How have you found that journey?
Quite exciting, really. I think since I gave up work, you know, working in a nursery, we've done lots of activities with children. I love watching children grow and develop. And I think from looking at becoming a childminder, it's got me to come back to my old roots of what I used to do for a living, but get to do it from my home, which I think for parents that decide to become a stay-at-home mum or dad, it's quite a good opportunity for them to earn a living, still be able to look after their children.
Is there a lot of paperwork involved that you have to do? Because I think not all of our listeners will be familiar with what a childminder does. Could you just briefly run through what that means?
It does mean that you need to have certain policies and things in place and for those children. And when you first decide to become a childminder, there's a course that you can go on through the National Childminding Association Trust. And that really does help you along the way to know what you need to have in place, things like registering with Ofsted, who will come and help you register your premises and make sure that you've got everything in place that needs to be there, really.
Excellent. So you have to have the exciting ideas and the paperwork as well to go along with it.
Yes. I think there's a lot of things on the internet as well that can help you if you're stuck on ideas of what to be able to do with children. But as a parent, I think sometimes those ideas are there in your head. They just need to come out.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you've done, because you've written an ebook called Sensory Activities for Babies and Toddlers. Now, we're big fans of sensory play over here. We've not always been. I have had three very different experiences with sensory play of my boys. But I was so excited when I saw that you'd written an ebook all about sensory play, because I think I just had the most, I don't know, the best time. And I know that the boys have the best time when we have sensory play. So what made you decide to write about sensory activities?
I guess really when I gave up working in the nursery, I found that I was struggling to think of ideas of what I was born. And it was a way of me, you know, coming back to those ideas that I used to have, finding ideas from what I could do with him cheaply at home with the things that we have around the house. And, you know, children learn through sensory activities at a very young age. So it was important for me to go back and try and remember some of those ideas of what I used to do.
And so why do you think that sensory activities are important then?
Well, like I say, from birth, children are learning through their senses, different smells around them, touching different things, and obviously taste as well. So I think it's really important that if you can open them up to as many different senses and feelings, then they're always going to be learning. And obviously doing that with their mum or dad is a great bonding experience as well.
I think some of my happiest memories are sensory activities that I can remember when I was younger. And I think that I know that my boys will remember some of these activities that you do with sensory. I don't know, something about touching and feeling and doing and experiencing. You kind of feel all of those things when you're doing your activities. So let's get into the book. Tell us more about your book and how is it useful for parents?
I think it's quite useful because I think with parents sometimes, if obviously you've never come across any of these, it can give you ideas of some really simple things that you might find around the house. So there's ideas in there such as pacifier play during their kitchen. As long as it's a supervised activity, there's no reason why you can't get pacifier out for them to you know, run their fingers through, to pick it up, feel the different textures, different pots. Activities such as jelly play, so it's, you know, a really strange thing to be able to feel their fingers flipping through jelly. It might be warm or there might be some cold jelly. It's a nice experience where the parents can sort of see their reactions but also know things and trust their parents on what they're experiencing.
Oh, it sounds really exciting. Jelly play, you know, jello and jelly, you know, being touch it and squidge it. You know, some children really don't like that feeling, and you kind of have to leave them. And it's like that funny thing that you leave in a room and walk away. You know, children can't help but touch it. And when it starts moving and wobbling, oh, it's just the best. It's just the best. And I wanted to talk about babies. You know, with they love to put things in their hair, on their bodies, everywhere. And that can really worry parents sometimes, you know, with the applesauce and the yogurt. I know my boys like to do that. And it makes a gigantic mess. But it is so much fun. If you can let it go and let it happen and let them play like that, how would you encourage parents to have good, messy playtime experiences?
I think the best way of looking at it is being as organized as you can, really. I think the best thing to do is make sure down or blankets or towels, and make sure you're ready so that no matter how messy they get, they can always be popped in the bath afterwards. They're wearing clothes, but it doesn't matter if they get messy, and the floor's well covered so that you can always clear it up quickly, get it out of the way, so then there's no worries about, oh gosh, look how messy they're getting. But the children are getting as much out of it as they can because you're relaxed and they're relaxed and you can just enjoy the experience.
Excellent. You can get back to our inner child.
Definitely.
Excellent. Sounds like being organized and preparation is the key there. And to be able to let go, you have to be organized and prepared. And then everybody will have a good time.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Adele, for coming on and sharing about sensory play.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun.
Excellent. Well, I say that everybody should look out for Adele and go follow her on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Laura Sidoni from Theatre Tots Limited, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Since recording that show in April 2011, Adele has a new website called playfullearners.co.uk. That's playfullearners.co.uk. And she's also the proud mother of a third child. Congratulations! You can check out all her fun activities on her site or connect with her on Facebook or Pinterest if that's the type of thing that you're into. A quick update from me. I've been beavering away in the background on a few projects, working on some new resources for the show and for the website. I'll be sharing more about this as it comes along here and probably in the newsletter too. Right now I'm just planning and writing, and that's really exciting. I have 3 ebooks and lots of free content that I give away each week. So far, on average, I've offered something each year for the year that I've been podcasting. So that's 3 books and 3 years. So we're in the 4th year, so I'm working on something that I'll be able to sell later on. Last year at Thanksgiving, you'll remember that Kathy from Nurture Store and I put together a big bundle of play ebooks from lots of play bloggers from around the internets. At a knockdown price. It was a big bundle of 13 different ebooks at a sensational price compared to what you would pay for each of them individually. Well, the bad news is that bundle sale of 13 books is not available anymore. However, the good news is that we do have a new book bundle, and there is a special little e-course that's in there as well, coming out soon, very soon. And this is the other thing that I've been busy beavering away in the background, working it out and setting this all up. I feel like I mention these types of offers to you on here because I feel that I really do give lots of good value in the free resources that I give out week on week, sharing the content and getting fabulous people to come on and share their ideas with us week after week. And I don't sell all the time, but there is things on the website if that you want to go over and purchase, you can. And there's things like this that are going on, a big bundle sale. I know that it offers immense value, and we're all about value and not spending lots of time online. And these books will do just that. It'll be a chance for you to take them away and do lots of stuff with them. Do lots of stuff with our kids. The new sale is coming up in a few weeks' time, and if you want to be reminded of that, I'll be sending out an email via the newsletter on the day of the sale. I've been mentioning it again in podcasts as we go along, and the newsletter sign up for that is on at raisingplayfultots.com. If you just go there, you'll find it in the top right hand corner there. You can just sign up for the newsletter there and you'll get a reminder of that when the sale comes, or you can just visit the website and it will be there. It's going to be open to everyone and anyone, and you'll see it mentioned, and I'm sure you'll hear it being mentioned more and more as the day comes clearer. I've been listening to a new podcast that I think that you should check out called Childcare Bar and Grill. There are two co-hosts on there talking about childcare and from the childcare perspective. And I really love show number 8, and that was a show on questions. And the conversations that they were talking about to do with questions are the questions that parents ask them as daycare providers and how they felt those questions were. And it was really interesting actually to get their perspective on, and I could really see for a change their perspective on the types of questions as we as parents would ask. It's a really playful podcast. They have lots of ideas of conversations and talk all about play, what they do in their daycare, how they feel about things. Jeff and Danita are the hosts, and Lisa of Ooey Gooey does a segment each time as well. So if you like those conversational types of podcasts where two people are talking together, having a chat, feel as if you're in the same room as them, kind of overhearing what they're talking about. They're childcare providers. They're talking about things that parents do, and they're not mean at all. It's just a completely different perspective. I think that you'll really like it. You should go and listen. That's Childcare Bar and Grill. You know, we've not done a 3 and 3 segment for a while. What were the last 3 blog posts or podcasts that you've read or listened to? Oh, I guess we could add video in there, because there are so many awesome videos from TED and TED Talks and all sorts of different places. People are producing some amazing videos now, especially with play in mind. So, okay, what were the last 3 parenting or play-related blogs, podcasts, or videos that you read, listened, or watched? Come on over to the site and share those in the comments. That's raisingplayfultots.com/134. That's 134. Or you can call them in to our voicemail. We have a voicemail that you can do. And that would be raisingplayfultots.com/voicemail. Or is it feedback? raisingplayfultots.com/feedback. It would be great to hear from you, and if you could share each of these things to each other, that's really cool, because you guys listen and read and watch some amazing stuff, and most of us don't like to be online that much. We'd rather be playing, connecting, or doing things offline in and around our kids. So direct links help us so much when we share them with each other. Okay, that's about it for this podcast. Thanks so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. While this material doesn't cost you a cent, it's not free. Raising Playful Tots is a business after all. So I ask you, if you've enjoyed this show, could you consider sharing with at least 3 friends? Could you consider sharing with at least 3 friends? Or maybe do one of the following things. Leave us a review on iTunes, thumbs up on Stitcher or your podcast mobile app. Find us on Pinterest, like us on Facebook. Join in our Slow Parenting, Simple Parenting community on Google+. That's a fair trade, right? I'm thankful for those of you that have come back week after week, the ones that email with suggestions and comments about the show. Alison, I want to know how it went this week with your independent play, however it went. Thanks to the new reviews on iTunes, I appreciate you taking the time to write them and to give feedback. If after a show you have a burning question, something that you just want to say, you've got some feedback, or a thing that you've really been struggling with, do let me know. You can do that via the survey at raisingplayfultots.com/survey. Or you can email me. The contact details are there on the site. If you go over to the website, you'll be able to find my contact details and you can email me there too. Because there are lots of really talented people who listen to the show and we can find somebody that can help you. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 134. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!